Finance Committee to order here, March 23rd, 2007. Appreciate people's indulgence, starting a little late here. We've got at least two items on the agenda here today, maybe three. We'll start out with House Bill 5040, the Public Employees Retirement System. Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Mr. Schrader. House Bill 5040 is the budget bill for the Public Employees Retirement System, or PERS, as it's usually referred to. PERS administers the retirement plans that cover most of Oregon's public employees. It also administers health plans for qualified retirees that wish to enroll in and pay for those plans. PERS is dealing with workload issues resulting from the 2003 reform legislation and subsequent lawsuits. The subcommittee has provided funding to continue addressing that workload. It also provided funding to continue the conversion of the aging existing retirement information management system to the new system that was installed for the Oregon Public Service Retirement Plan. The conversion is scheduled for completion November 2009. Additionally, most of the work resulting from the reform legislation and lawsuits should be completed by the end of that upcoming biennium. PERS will report to the legislature on its progress in the first and third quarters of calendar year 2008. The subcommittee reduced the budget to recognize efficiency savings of about $1.2 million and reinvested a portion of that for improved retirement application support. Stakeholders and PERS identified the need for additional support in this area. Upfront efforts to ensure complete and accurate retirement applications should result in more timely processing of benefit payments and reduce costs associated with redoing and reworking applications. Improved customer satisfaction should also result. The subcommittee also reviewed the agency's performance measures. We deleted Key Performance Measure 8 and merged it with Key Performance Measure 6, then approved the eight measures included in the budget report. The General Government Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5040 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5546, the Capital Construction Supplemental Budget. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5546 provides capital construction adjustments for three agencies. A new $4.1 million other funds capital construction expenditure limitation is established for the Department of Administrative Services for the renovation of the Eugene State Office Building. After remodeling the building for necessary safety and other upgrades, the Regional Office of the Department of Environmental Quality will leave privately leased space and move into the renovated building. Expenditure limitations in the amount of $2 million other funds and $750,000 federal funds for the military's Department Salem Mall distribution facility are eliminated. The project was approved in 2005 but will now not be undertaken. The ending date for the capital construction other funds expenditure limitation for the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training new Salem training facility is extended by 1 year to June 30th, 2008. The extension will allow the agency to complete some remaining construction issues with contractors. The action does not change the overall amount of the limitation. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends SB 5546 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion? Representative Nathanson.
Thank you. The proposed funding for capital construction for the Eugene State Office Building concerns me. I'm not going to support this action because after looking through the history, yes, there's a long history of the state and the county talking with or at or across each other regarding what to do with this building and this site. It's a prime downtown site. It's located in the vicinity of the City Hall, the County Courthouse, and the Federal Office Building. It's a wonderful site which should be used for collaboration between government agencies. This is an old building. It looks to me like there's money being allocated to and invest in some upgrades of an old building that's not very good. In fact, the state didn't even want to keep the building. It's on the record for wanting to dispose of it for some period of time. But it would be expedient to move some DEQ offices into this building because a lease is coming up. It seems to me that this prime downtown site would be much better utilized if it were redeveloped as a joint collaborative project between the state and other local government partners. Even though it may seem unusual to have a jointly owned building, it's not entirely unusual, and a cooperatively developed project would serve the taxpayers, all the taxpayers of the state of Oregon, better. We shouldn't be looking at what's best for the state budget and then what's best for the county or the city budgets. It's what's best for the taxpayers generally. I believe that a collaboratively owned project to better house facilities for both the state, the city, and the county would be better. It means that some sort of project would be delayed still again. But I'd rather see instead of something between $4 and $5 million used to fix up an old building that's not going to be made more useful for another 50 years to provide additional services or additional activities, I would rather see a little bit of money additionally spent for something better that will serve more purposes for a longer period of time. So I'm going to be a no vote on this one.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Representative Berger. Senator Burke.
Yes, could I ask the carrier a question, please? I'd like to know if this testimony was given before the subcommittee.
It was not given before the subcommittee. I think many people that had served on the e-board during the interim knew of the testimony. We had actually delayed action on this, I believe, at least once, if not twice, during the last year. Mr. Rock was saying twice, to allow time for DAS to work with the county government to see if they could come up with an option that would be viable. Mr. Ball related in committee that basically they've been unable to come up with an acceptable offer. Understand we're investing about $4.1 million here. The county's last offer, my understanding was, is they wanted $7.5 million from the state. And then the state would have an additional cost of about $1 million to move the switching center. That's another million. Then, of course, they would have probably had to get an extension on their current lease for the DEQ employees in their facility. So the cost would have been probably well over double the cost of this particular item to meet the requirements that Lane County wanted. And if you're going to tear down the building, reconstruct the building, I think you'd be talking more about probably about a year and a half to 2 year time frame. Would that be? I'm looking for some nodding in the back. That's about time frame.
Where are you? Yes.
But we delayed this twice during the e-board consideration, just for this very purpose, for these negotiations to continue.
That's right.
Further questions? Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I recall, previous discussions on this issue, there were very serious concerns about the cost benefit of taking this building, irrespective of the use and the occupancy, but just looking at the building itself and renovating a building of this nature. What has changed in the discussion with respect to that part of the equation?
Senator Devlin.
In terms of that part of the discussion, I don't think a lot has changed, but I think a lot of that discussion has been basically by members that have seen the building, but I do not have any recollection, and it may have occurred in a different subcommittee in terms of, it's a Department of Administrative Services issue. To some extent, you rely upon the people that are actually contracting for buildings, renovating buildings, building buildings, to make those determinations of whether or not the building is viable to be renovated for future long-term use. Individual legislators, I don't think, have the time or are particularly qualified to go out and evaluate whether or not the particular building can be renovated.
I think my question was focused not so much from a legislator's evaluation, but from professional evaluations. What had emerged to change the thinking to actually renovate it in terms of architectural review, actual construction review? Having had some experience in this kind of activity,
Dallas, you want to come up, please?
There are a lot of unknowns.
I think that the understanding I have is that this has been looked at ad nauseum, and we've had difficulty in getting with all due respect to my good friend and colleague from Eugene, the local jurisdiction to step up in a real meaningful way. And to ask, Lindsey Ball's gone through this again and again and again, and the most cost-efficient, the most effective approach for the state of Oregon and its tenants is to go ahead and renovate the building. That's been the opinion of the experts. Dallas, you want to elaborate, please?
Sir, co-chairs, members of the committee. The Department of Administrative Services did contract with the consultant to review the possible either demolition and construction of a new facility, renovation, and the like. The most cost-effective proposal to come from the consultant was to renovate. It's about a $4.1 million renovation. The building is structurally sound. Mm-hmm. So you have to be retrofitted for HVAC, electric, and the like. And they believe it'll extend the useful life of about 40 to 50 years.
That answers my question. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further questions? Seeing none, objections. Representative Nathanson, Nelson, and Gordley. Motion passes. Further comments? My co-chair.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just want to call attention to our field hearing schedule, which was included in the packet you all received yesterday at the presentation of the co-chair's recommended budget. We brought additional copies of that today. We have made some modifications to it from the first tentative schedule we gave you because we had neglected to pay attention to the timing of one of the hearings we had scheduled. It was on Easter week, or the Friday of Easter weekend, which we thought was probably not helpful for public participation. So we've made some adjustments to that. LFO and the presiding officer's offices are working on the specific logistics of that, but we wanted you to make sure you had the schedule, could put it in your calendars. This is a huge and important opportunity for all of us to hear from the people we're attempting to serve with programs and services, whether we're hitting the mark on where their priorities are. So we really strongly, and can't emphasize enough how much we hope you will clear your calendars to attend all of these hearings with us. It's a good opportunity to hear from a wide array of communities.
Very good. Representative Gerard.
I think Susie is taking care of the fact that we don't have a copy of that schedule.
Okay.
So we are giving that out forthwith.
She's got it.
Thank you.
Very good point.
Okay.
Very good. If there's nothing else to come before the committee, we're adjourned. Thank you. I sort of have one.